Hello, honest to God listener. Before this episode starts, I just wanted to come on real quick and ask if you could please drop us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That would be wonderful. It only takes you a second, but it helps us out a ton. Thanks so much and enjoy this episode.
AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Hello, this is Aiden, and on this episode of Honest to God, we continue the conversation with another talk about theology of the body. From the difference between staring and gazing to stretching our hearts so that we can see the beauty in the world, we can't wait to dive back into this amazing topic, that is, theology of the body. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here today. We're going to have a great day. We're talking about theology of the body. We've done it before, but we're going to do it even better this time with Aiden and Alyssa and Jessica, who I learned was not named after Father John Klein's guitar. The guitar might have been named after you. I doubt it. I think the guitar is probably older than you are. But no, we're super excited. It's going to be a good day today. We've got a pretty good group, as always. Producer Ben, rocking it over there, and show notes Benny might be here, might not. You'll never know. Who could it be? Could be show notes Benny, could be a lemur that we train to type on a laptop, could be nobody. Once again, just the abyss over there.
Could be a speaker we put a keyboard typing sound effect in the corner on.
You'll find out next week on Honest to God. No, but we're super excited for having you guys in studio today. I think we're going to have a great time. Let's begin as we do all things in prayer. Anybody want to volunteer? We didn't talk about this beforehand.
Sure.
You got a good I can pray face, Alyssa. You get it.
Thank you. All right. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, thank you for this beautiful night. Thank you for bringing us here today. Open up our hearts to receive your dear love and mercy and guide us to be honest to you in all the ways that you've changed our lives through theology of the body. In your heavenly name we pray, amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Son, Holy Spirit, amen. What a great way to start off episode 517 of Honest to God. Is that right, Ben?
That's right.
517?
517.
Yeah. It's not. Those of you hearing, so I have no idea what episode number this is. This is going to be great. And like I said earlier, we've talked about theology of the body some on the show before, but sort of from different facet, different group of people. You guys seem to have sort of a background in it. So we're going to go through. If you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, we'll start with Aiden. Tell us who you are. Give us five facts, and then we'll kick it off.
Certainly. My name is Aiden. I'm a recent convert to Catholicism. I grew up.
Heck yeah. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Killer, Aiden.
And very topical for this show. Theology of the body helped bring me into Catholicism. I was born in Wisconsin, so my backup religion is the Green Bay Packers.
Sure. Yeah. You gotta have a backup. We really encourage that here, honest to God. Make sure you got a backup.
It's kind of a state religion you get brought up in.
Do you own a piece of the team?
Not anymore. My share expired.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
it was. They expire? That's not fair.
Yeah, they got to make money every once in a while, so they expire them. You buy some new. But, you know, one day when I'm a wealthy man, I have a real job, I'm no longer a student, then I will have my cheesehead have owner on the side of it once again.
And for the record, that's not a joke. You can buy a share of the Green Bay Packers, right? Anybody can.
Yeah, I used to think people from Wisconsin were just all dishonest because they'd have like, I own the Packers on hats on their cheeseheads. And I'm like, there's no way you'd be in the same grocery store as I was if you own the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. But lo and behold, I was wrong.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Let's see. I love smoking pipes. I just recently got into that and have had the best conversations of my life between smoking pipes and going to the sauna at the campus recreation center on campus.
Not at the same time.
No. Yeah, that'd be an interesting combination. And finally, I love sports. I like weightlifting. I like rugby, football, and whatnot. So I like to stay active the best I can.
Cool. All right. I dig it. That's great. Love How about it. You, Alyssa?
Yeah. I've moved 9 times. Okay. I have celiac disease, so I'm gluten-free, but I know how to bake some of like the most incredible gluten-free desserts you've ever tried.
This is
tried.
My hot take on gluten-free food.
Go ahead.
Everything I've ever eaten that's gluten-free falls into one of two categories.
Yeah.
Category one, it tastes exactly like cardboard. Okay.
Fair.
Category number two is it's like surprisingly fantastic.
Right?
And I'm like, how do you even do this?
It's the butter.
Weird.
It's the sugar. It's like it gets fudgy. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been really impressed and really disappointed with gluten-free foods. So
yeah.
I've never found
Me
a middle
too.
Ground.
If you need good recommendations, I got you.
Okay.
Got
Absolutely. You. Killer.
All right. I unironically sing and dance down the street. Like I'm right out of a Broadway musical.
Sweet.
They can attest to it. What else?
I think there's only three.
Alyssa. That's only three. That's only three.
What are you known for?
I am known for hugs. I'm known for hugs.
Good hugger.
Okay. Really good hugger. That's like nice. My most memorable thing. Everyone's like, wow, what hugs? And then I am, I'm a PhD student.
Oh, cool. Are you working on your PhD?
Biomedical engineering.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Immune cells. Going to protect your body. It's going to be a great time.
I love my immune cells. Like, I'm a huge fan. This episode of Honest Guys is actually brought to you by your immune cells. You, personally, if you're listening right now, your immune cells paid for this show to exist today. So big shout out to all of you and predominantly your immune cells. All right. Yep. Awesome. Not Father John Klein's guitar. Jessica, tell us about yourself.
So I'm the oldest of six. I'm from the Chicago area. I'm also getting my PhD in chemistry.
Okay.
So I'm teaching myself how to cross stitch.
Cool.
And I really enjoy country swing dancing.
Okay.
We've got a great group at Georgia Tech, and we have a lot of fun dances.
So you're both at Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I didn't know that girls were allowed to go to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, surprisingly. Yes.
I'm sorry. That's a bad joke. The ratio is fairly skewed, though. Still, is it?
No, I think it depends on your major. Yeah. Okay. My major, there's 60% women. And then,
cool. The most recent class to get admitted to Georgia Tech was 50-50.
Mm-hmm. No way. So I'm going to keep using those old jokes from the 70s for the rest of my life.
Yeah, there's a lot of good dating jokes about Georgia Tech. Okay. Yeah. They're well warranted too.
Something about the your odds being good, but the good's being odd. Yeah,
that's
a lot
the
of those.
Best one.
It gets funnier when you hear it every week. No, that's fantastic. So you guys are all Tech students.
Correct.
Right? And I assume you're involved with the Catholic Center over at Tech.
Barely.
Huge shout out to the Catholic Center at Georgia Tech. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It is better than any public school has any right to have a Catholic center. Like, better than, I'm a big fan of the Newman Center schools. I'm a big, mm-hmm. I graduated from Franciscan. Georgia Tech kicks I would put them up against any school, Catholic or otherwise, in the country in regards to their Catholic center.
Preach.
So, I was talking to an MBA student who said the deciding factor why he came to Georgia Tech to get his master's in business was the Georgia Tech Catholic Center.
That's awesome.
The community just spoke to him the moment he walked in.
And what priest is in charge over there right now?
Father Branson, okay. The chaplain.
He's fairly new, right?
Yeah, he's a
4 years. He's 4 years? This is fourth year.
He came
year.
After Father Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm. I believe so. Okay. Yeah. And he's been loving it, and he's like really impacting the community. It's just so beautiful.
That's amazing.
And, yeah, so good.
We've all taken on his mannerisms. Like when he walks, talks. He's always doing
reality
this.
Is a gift.
Yeah. His favorite saying. People quote in the same guys that he quotes. He's very smart man, and it rubs off on us, makes us look better than we are.
No, I am just, I really am blown away. I hate to keep going off on the Georgia Tech Catholic Center. Every time there's somebody here from Georgia Tech, I like to just sing the praises of the Catholic Center over there because it is something else. Yeah. So good job. You're a big part of that. Those things are, right? It's not the top down. Even if you have the best priest in the world, if you don't have you don't have good people who are coming and getting involved with it, it's kind of flounder and die. And Georgia Tech does an incredible job. So way to go, Father, and everybody involved in the Georgia Tech Catholic Center. So I was going to open this up a little bit, but because of what you told me, Aiden, about you being a convert and theology of the body having something to do with that, I'm going to assume, obviously, anyone listening to this has listened to all 516 other of our episodes of Honest to God, so they know a lot about theology of the body. They know about John Paul II's Wednesday audiences. They know all about sort of the basic big picture stuff from a theology of the body standpoint. If you don't, go back and check out our episodes on theology of the body. But I would love to hear about how it's impacted you, especially when you're saying it caused you to swim across the Tiber. Welcome home, brother. I'm pumped. That's
Thank
great.
You very much. It turns out all roads do lead to Rome.
That's it.
So when I was exploring, I was very near to becoming Russian Orthodox, mm-hmm. actually. And I thought I'd give Catholicism a chance.
Sure,
you know,
thanks.
So wandered over to the Catholic Center at Georgia Tech. And one of the announcements after a mass I went to was, we're going to be doing theology of the body. And at the time, I was a single man. I did not like that I was a single man. And
sure.
I was like, theology, like I should probably inform my dating strategy, how I go about relationships. Because previous ones did not go as well as I had hoped. So I was like, I'll see what Christ has to say about dating. And well, I went to the classes, and Joey Martinick, who I believe has been a guest here before.
He was here. Was he on our last one?
Yeah, he was on the last show. Yeah.
He's the man.
Lovely. Well, he was my introduction to theology of the body. And you've probably gotten into the topics, the big takeaways before.
Feel free to do them again, though. This is fine. It's a great refresher.
Lovely. he started, like, the biggest takeaway that I first confronted with theology of the body is that all the desires, the passions, like, these are all signs pointing towards a reality that is truly good, which growing up in the religious background I had, it was very much like body bad. It's like, right. If you have any desires, you have passions, you have eros, the type of love that's very, yeah, very intense. It's like, these are all bad things that cause you to sin. It sends you to hell. And to hear that that's not the case was like, what in tarnation?
Right.
It was really difficult to wrap my mind around, and even more so to live out properly. But the beautiful thing about theology of the body is it's the most tangible type of theology, because you can live it out. And for us Georgia Tech folk that like numbers and science and whatnot, you can experiment with it. I could live this out and see, are my relationships more fruitful? Are they more successful? Is my life more well-ordered? And to me, the answer was yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And as I started conforming my life to a lot of the core tenets of theology of the body and like truly embraced it, it transformed my life in a way that got me to turn back west towards Rome. And yeah, well, now I'm here.
That's fantastic, dude. We need to do a whole show just on conversion stories.
That'd be great.
I would love to dig into the nitty gritty of that. That's super interesting. I said on a recent episode that I had things been a little different for me when I was converting. The Orthodox were very appealing in a lot of ways. And from a liturgical standpoint, I do think they beat us in a lot of ways, right? Yeah. Their bells are nicer. Their smells are better. Their churches don't look like Quick Trips. You know, they do a great job. Not all of our churches do, but a lot of the ones we've built in the last 50 years do.
Yeah.
But for the grace of God, right? And some, you know, some deep digging into some historical stuff and having some great conversations with some men that I really respect, I would have gone, I would have gone in that direction. So praise God. Praise God that you're here. And a big shout out to our Orthodox brothers and sisters. We like them. We like them. We're almost there. Yeah. They're good guys. All right. Alyssa, I hate to be so formulaic about this, but I'm also kind of into it. Like, because it seems like theology of the body in particular has had a pretty big impact on the lives of everybody here. So I like the personal nature of this discussion.
Yeah, me too. It's been a journey. And I've been a critical Catholic like all my life, but at the same time, I had this like big falling away over time, you know, like a perfectionistic attitude towards things and like, but not really understanding like who God was as the Father. You know, I was very much like, he's a taskmaster. I'm not following the rules. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to come get me, you know, like it's, or even just like seeing something as beautiful as like all the things we talk about in theology of the body and being like, how can the body be bad, and kind of believing right. that lie too, or how can like sex and marriage or like all these different things, what's really the value of religious life, you know, these big questions. And then especially with like a lot of questions of modernity as well, like I just didn't know how to approach it. It's like, I don't have a good answer to any of these, so maybe they're right and this is wrong, but I just didn't have that relationship to be able to ask the questions, right? Sure. Like to turn to God and like be able to like have my challenging questions and turn to him to give me an answer, right? So one of my big like turning points back to the faith was like this matter of like realizing that I could have a relationship with God, and that kind of started with like writing letters to God. And and so, and then like I'd start identifying myself as like a beloved daughter and a beloved daughter of God the Father, and you know, like that he is above and like literally gazing at me, not because I've done something to deserve his love, not because I've done something to not deserve it, but just because of who I am, right, as his daughter. And that was like a huge turning point. And when I came to Tech, I started at Tech last year for my doctorate, and theology of the body happened. I was just like, you know what? These are like the big questions I have. These are the things I have about doctrine and just like, how do I like even approach the world? Right. Like, how do I be a good Catholic and approach the world? And I just found something that wasn't like a, here's your solutions. It wasn't just like a yes or no. It was like a deep, meaningful thing. And it was like really about like the inner desires of your heart, the ethos of your heart.
Right.
Okay. So it's not just like my heart, like I don't want to just be attractive, right? It's not like I just want people to like look at me and like
see that I'm attractive. I want them to see me, right? Like, that girl is attractive, right? But not just to be seen, but to be known. So it's like, Alyssa's attractive, right? Uh-huh. And like, the good things about her, the bad things about her, like every part of her is attractive. But then it's not like, it's not my just my CV, you know? Right. Like, you can't just have like a bullet point list of who I am, right? It's like, no. I want to be loved in those things. I don't want you to just know them. I want you to love them, right? But not just to love them from afar, but like to be close, to be in relationship and like to cherish me.
I love what you said, because as Catholics, a frustrating thing about being Catholic, and I don't want to sound arrogant here, but is that, I mean, you know, the fullness of truth is found in the Catholic Church, right? And so the church is right about things, and we can get so caught up in the apologetics. Mm-hmm. And it's great. My conversion of the mind happened way before my conversion of the heart, right? Mm-hmm. And it was super exciting that I could beat people in arguments, and I could talk about all these things and pull out my historical examples and my philosophical example and go through all of this. Mm-hmm. But what theology of the body does so well, I think, if it's done correctly, is it gets more at that, like, yeah, no, that's great. That's great. For those mm-hmm. logical things, you're right. Mm-hmm. But let's look more at you. And let's talk more about the, not the brain stuff, but you as a beloved individual mm-hmm. and your worth and your dignity as you, not your ability to beat people in arguments or any of these things.
Yeah. So, yeah. And God the Father is like running after you, you know, like no matter like how much of a prodigal son or daughter you are. I was very prodigal. Like I was running away or didn't want to like turn even. And he was just like so gentle with me, like following like right behind me. And then like when I finally was like ready to turn, he just like grabs me, like, you know, like totally embrace. And I'm a very like physical person. I told you I love hugs. So like just to like feel that embrace and be like, no, you're here. You do love me. And that there's like so much more meaning. Like, and so when you dive into theology of the body, it's like, oh my gosh, everything makes so much more sense. It's not, these doctrines aren't just here to be rules. They're like, a loving father has given them to us because he wants like the best for us. He wants like, he wants to fulfill the deepest desires of our hearts, right? Because like they're there, and we try to fill it with so superficial of things or think we know what we want. And it's like, no, you want something so much more, and you are made for a relationship. You're made for love.
Was that a one-off sort of experience, or was that like a long culmination? Like did you have like a big moment or... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think in terms of like just like coming back, I think there was like one moment where I was like, the physicality of it is very important. So like we can pray anywhere, right? Like I say my Our Fathers, I say my Hail Marys, just even doing lab work. But there was like when I was coming back into the church, it was like I almost need to like be physically there. I need to make the physical movement to go back into the church.
Okay.
And the first day I did that, like after the pandemic, it was like a late night, and I'm walking and it's like I don't even feel anything. It's like I feel silly, like, but it's not like. It's like a numbness almost, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm walking all the way to the church at University of Virginia, and I like go inside, and I still feel nothing. As soon as I open the door to just like the lobby, overwhelming, weeping, like completely just overwhelmed. And then like I go upstairs and just feel like an absolute embrace in the chapel. And it's just like, I am so sorry for being gone so long. But it was literally like the Father's loving embrace.
Praise God.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. All right, Jessica, that was a pretty good tee off now. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear you. Yeah, I would love to hear about just sort of theology of the body personally with Jessica.
Sure, absolutely. So I have also been a Catholic all my life. And this summer, Alyssa told me that she was going to be leading theology of the body for us at the Catholic Center. And so I came into it with the expectation that I was going to learn things, learn facts, and be able to understand, because I had been privy to many different conversations at the Catholic Center where people were sharing, oh, this is what I'm looking for in a marriage. This is why I'm looking for to date. And they were very knowledgeable, but it was also very personal. Right. And so I felt like I was missing that. And so I came to theology of the body initially thinking, okay, I'm going to finally get some answers to before the answer had been, oh, God has a design. He has a plan, but never really going into what was that or what is this design. And so I started going to theology of the body and learning the information, but like you mentioned earlier, also being convicted and learning that there were things in my relationship with God and my relationship with other people that were preventing me from living out those relationships fully. So seeing that there were things in my life I had to reframe or re-understand.
Right.
And just being with the beauty of that and the beauty of watching my relationships transform as I learn.
Can you speak relationally to anything sort of specific that like scales falling from your eyes kind of situation with anything? And if you don't feel any pressure to overshare, but I'm just curious.
I think realizing that when like staring versus gazing and realizing not like sometimes it's obvious, oh, okay, I'm staring and, you know, mm-hmm. this is not the way that I should acknowledge another person. But even staring in the minute ways or staring without realizing it.
Right.
And praying a lot last semester that when I, you know, when I would look at people, ask God to help me gaze rather than stare. Oh, so I could see their beauty That's and see God beautiful. Within them.
That's awesome, guys. Okay, this is super cool. I'm really excited about this. We've got a little bit of time left before break because I wanna dig into a few things. First of all, and this might be a repeat of something I've said on a previous episode, but what you said, Aiden, about the body bad sort of mentality that seems super pervasive, right? This is when I was sort of like coming into the church and being very interested in it. It seemed like I was given two options by society. Option one was everything that has to do with sexuality, physicality, or whatever, that is bad and that is dirty and that is gross. I need to avoid that. Very puritanical sort of. Yeah, everything, right? And the other was this sort of the polar opposite, sort of like this Gnostic-y, like, I can do whatever I want with my body. It doesn't even matter, right? I'm going to go, might as well live it up, YOLO, whatever. Why? Does anybody have any thoughts on why those seem to be our two options that we have right now in the Western world? I'm curious. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. For like, this goes right to the superficial. Like, this is actually one of the first classes that we teach at the beginning of the year. It's a fast food gospel versus starvation gospel. Cool. And so it's the hedonistic mentality, which is the kind of just need to, I have this desire. It's supposed to be good. Instantaneous gratification. Go, 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 go. Versus like the starvation diet, which is like, no, I can't trust myself. And like, I'm just going to stay away from it and like not even engage with it. And then, but that starts to like deaden us as well, right? But we can't just sit here and like starve ourselves of our desires because they're really not bad. They're made by God, right? And so when we start to starve ourselves, we can easily cycle between the two of them until like we're not really sure who we are anymore. And we end up hurting ourselves, hurting others. And that's not like what we're promised for. But like, it's so much easier to just like feel that instant gratification or to even just remove ourselves entirely and distance ourselves than to try to like find something deeper.
And we're talking about theology of the body, which most people immediately assume is just like a sex class, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it goes into everything.
Everything.
It's not just your sexuality. You're
absolutely
talking about desires.
Everything. Yeah. Right. Careers, even like all your relationships, like every single aspect of who you are. It's like totally rooted in theology of the body.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Got a complimentary view to that. So I like philosophizing over a good pipe. And one of the discussions we had very recently is like the human mind, the human heart was made for God, right? It was made for truth. And if you don't have a high principle to orient your understanding of the entire world, then like, what do you have? How do you make decisions? So when, as Nietzsche said, like we killed God in society, is no longer the highest organizing principle. Well, now what do you use to organize your understanding of how to live your life, how to spend your free time, what to do on a 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, as Father Branson loves to say. And I think that without God, the human mind orients itself towards an extremism.
Okay.
Because when you take an absolutist stance, like this is always true, that makes thinking and understanding your life very easy.
Sure.
So with take hedonism, for example, where it's like, I'm always just going to do what feels good in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not hard to be a hedonist. You know what you want to do, like to always press the snooze button, to stay out late, to party, to do whatever your passions are directing you to. But by that same vein, it's always easy to say no, too. And I learned this lesson, ironically enough, through an animated television show called South Park. Where there was a dad in the show, one of the characters, the dad was struggling with alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
And his solution to alcoholism was to just never to think about alcohol, never be in a room with somebody drinking, and just to take the polar opposite approach. And this little second grade kid says to him, like, Dad, it's easy to always say no. It's easy to always say yes. The hard thing to do is to exist in moderation, which gets into – there's a lot of theology and philosophy behind that. But in a really true sense, like, there's a certain wonder about God that is the truth. And to make the proper decision, there's discernment, a lot of effort that goes into that. And it's a lot harder, which is why it's not as popular for people to default to. Instead, people want to do what's quick and easy, and that's to always say yes, always say no, and to not have to think too much.
Well, and going back to the extreme thing, too, it seems like, and this has gotten sort of cliche now, I've heard a lot of people say this, but I think it's worth saying out loud, we, as human beings, we all have religion, we're always going to have a religion of some sort. We're not going to call it that necessarily, but you're going to have something, right? Mm-hmm. Like Nietzsche, like you're talking about with Nietzsche, right? I'm filling that void with something because it's written on my heart, right? That there are principles or ideas or something beyond myself that I should ascribe to. And so we end up filling it with all these ridiculous, stupid things that make us, not in actuality, but in practicality, less human. Right. Did you have a hand up, Jessica?
Yeah, I was going to say, in a very practical sense, I've been experiencing this with longing. So mm-hmm. I think I agree with what Alyssa and Aiden are saying. It's very easy to live by an absolute, and mm-hmm. it's very easy to either shut it out or fill that void. And so with longing, you have to wrestle with it every day. And some days it's easier and some days it's really difficult. But I think that is part of our journey, like as Catholics, is we learn how do we long well with God, mm-hmm. and how can God help us in our longing?
No, that's awesome. That's great. What are you going to say, Alyssa?
Oh, totally. Everything that Jessica is saying. I mean, like that's like part of the thing too, is that God really wants to like stretch open our hearts, right? Like first he wants us to like cut away all the things that we don't need, like, and like, so that he can actually have room to get in there. Right. And like, he wants us to like give him everything. So all the pains that we try to like push down, like traumas from our past or like things that we've struggled with, he's like, no, give that to me too. And I will give it back to you 100-fold. And like, we will have such a better relationship because you trust me with that thing. Right. And also with like longing, what it does is it stretches our hearts too. It's like, you want this thing. Yeah. Well, if you're able to receive the gift that I want to give you, you got to open up your heart to like really like know in your heart that this is the thing that you've been longing for, and to receive it in all its beauty without any judgment or prejudice or anything else. Because a lot of times we can like see things that God's doing in our lives and we're like, yeah, but not that, you know?
Right, totally.
Yeah, so stretching the longing really helps us to know like this is what we want.
So I want to get into the practicality of how we do that here in a minute. But first, we're going to have to go to break because we got to make time for radio. We got lots of great ads from our immune cells, or whoever I said was sponsoring this episode. Mm-hmm. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We're going to be right back. Be sure to stay tuned.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Super excited. We got Jessica, we got Alyssa, we got Aiden. We were rocking and rolling on the second half of our discussion on theology of the body, where we last left off. Alyssa, I was about to ask you about practicality, because we talk about all these awesome things, right? You're talking about letting God into our heart and like pulling away all this garbage that we got to pull out and get rid of. And that all sounds great. And we hear a lot of stuff like that on sort of the Catholic, Christian, whatever. Awesome. Practically speaking, how do I do that?
Yeah, I think practically it's really about making God like the center of your life, and like making more of like that commitment to going to prayer, to going to adoration, to going to daily mass. And it's not like make this a checklist box like all of a sudden, right? But we are like, the fact that we have bodies means that we need like a personal like connection, right? Like, why is confession in person? We can't do it on Zoom because you need that person to person, because there's something about it that like arouses like an emotional response in us. So to physically go and to like be in communion with Christ, to be in prayer, to just adore Christ and to be so grateful for like everything that's going on, like there's such a difference. So I think that's like the practicality of like recognizing that we are physical beings, and that we need to like take that physicality to all of our relationships, especially with God.
Well, and that ties into what you said too earlier about going into the church and physically being in the church and having that feeling then, because once again, it comes, we have all these strains of Christianity that I don't think they're actively doing this, but I don't think they're purposefully doing this, but what they are actually doing is almost denying like the corporal nature of us as human beings that exists in a physical world with physical constraints that are drawn to physical things sometimes. Yeah. What are you going to say, Aiden?
I was going to add a layer onto Alyssa's commentary. And I think when I was learning how to trust God, because I didn't do it well until even after I became Catholic, right, like what it really looked like. And for me to have the conversion of heart, it really took an examination of conscience in like daily activities. So for example, I'll be at the gym and people don't wear a lot of clothes at the gym.
Right.
And if I'm staring or gazing, that was a good comparison. It was like when you ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? If you're having an intimate moment with your partner, mm-hmm, your other half, and it's like, well, are we progressing in a way? Are we having this moment? Is this out of selfish desire, or am I trying to glorify the other person, treating them as if they're of the image and likeness?
Right.
And I think that trusting God is trusting that I have his word written on my heart and that my conscience, like, he'll work through that. And I found for myself, a lot of times I would know, like, you just know deep down what I'm doing. I'm not doing it for God. I'm not doing it for anyone except my own selfish desire. And when I first started to acknowledge those moments of like, I'm letting myself down, mm-hmm, like the only person I'm doing this for is myself. I know that's not right.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, what do you do with that? Okay, well, I guess God can fit in right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, from now on, I'm just going to try my best to just not do that bad thing. And to me, that is that leap of faith. It's like, this is the default. This is what I want to do, but I'm just not going to do that because this is an act of faith that my life will be better and that I will glorify God to a greater degree if I just do not do this one act in this moment.
Well, and that purposeful checking in with yourself is such a big thing too. I was talking to a guy, he's in college, and we meet fairly regularly and we just talk about things. And he was talking about his relationship with his girlfriend. And I was saying, well, what about this from the chastity world? How's that going? And he said, well, we just talked about it the other day. And I was like, super cool. You talked about it? I said, yeah, like about once every couple of weeks, we say, how do you think we're doing in regards to chastity? And we had this conversation. We were talking off air about pornography, masturbation, those kind of things. And when I struggle with that, years ago, it wasn't until I had good friends who I could talk to and have a conversation and say, hey, I'm dealing with this, you're dealing with this, let's say it out loud, let's talk about it, let's not recede into ourselves and wallow in our shame, but instead have conversations.
And that's a scary thing to do.
Oh, it's awful, but it's so good.
Yeah.
So good. So
change
good.
Your life.
100%. Mm-hmm. And I know I do these little PSAs every now and then, but if I just described you, right, if you're somebody out there who's struggling, particularly with pornography, with masturbation, with using other people or allowing yourself to be used, right, mm-hmm, I cannot recommend more taking a look and getting over that shame to the point where shame's not necessarily a bad thing, but wallowing in it is, and preventing that from having a conversation with somebody else. I think that's one of the only ways you can get out. We can't do it on our own. We're built for community. What were you going to say?
Yeah, especially like I'm thinking even like applying that to work, just like a feeling like you're being used by other people, like it's such like a detrimental thing, right? And so this idea of like staring versus gazing is like, am I just being used as an object or am I being seen as a person for all that I am?
And let's define staring versus gazing, because you're using that term and I would love to.
So staring is like, I'm looking at you as something to be used,
right?
And then gazing is like seeing your entire person.
Okay.
So it's like that difference. So if I'm like staring at somebody, I'm like thinking like, okay, how could I use them?
Right.
How can they like help me get this job? Or mm-hmm, how can they like help me to like get this person in my life? Or like we even have like, we talk about physical lust a lot, but there's also emotional lust, right?
Sure.
There's like a new girl.
We just
girl.
Talked about emotional chastity, but we didn't talk about emotional lust. Please talk about that.
Yes, emotional lust is all about like, if I want to like get married one day, right? Mm-hmm. But like, I'm just like, I would just want somebody to find me attractive, mm-hmm, right? And then like this guy comes in, I'm like, could that be my future husband? Could that be my future husband? You know, it's like this kind of thing of like, I'm not even looking at who the guy is, right? I'm like, I'm just picturing like him as a puzzle piece in my life, like as my future husband. And it's like, that is not how we are like called to be. Like if you're going to get married, right? Like it is you giving your entire self to another person because you love them and you want the world for them and you're willing to die to self for them. Like that is the entire call to sacrament of marriage. We want to get each other to heaven, and it's not just somebody here to like fulfill my wildest dreams, right? It's I want to fulfill their wildest dreams.
Well, and a lot of times use, right? We think about it in like physical things, but we don't often, or maybe we should more often think about use as, am I using you to feel good about myself?
Exactly.
Right? Yes. It's still use, even though I'm not trying to take something physically from you or help your, get you to do something physically with me or get you to help me in some like physical way, getting a job or whatever.
Yeah.
If I'm using you as an emotional crutch,
absolutely.
I'm using you.
Absolutely. And that is staring. That is exactly like what we talk about. And when we start to think that this isn't possible, this is when we start to grasp. This is when we start to use pornography and do masturbation and all these other things. Because we're like, we don't trust that. Like, we have this longing on our heart and we don't trust that it's going to come. So we start grasping for anything that we can get.
Right.
So that's like, that's the big difference in staring versus gazing. When I gaze, I see the entire person and I like see like them for all they are. I love all those things. I want to cherish them in it. It's not the same as like, they're just a puzzle piece.
And I assume that you would consider that another muscle to work out almost as a constant reminder, because once again, we're fallen creatures with concupiscence, right? So we're drawn towards sin in all these ways. And it's not that easy as I'm looking at somebody and now I just automatically, because I've made this decision that I'm going to gaze and not stare, right? I'm doing that.
Yeah. But this is when you like invite God into it too. Like you just turn to God and you say, hey, like be gentle with my heart. Show me to love this person the way that you love them.
Right.
It becomes easier though. Like,
right.
I've gotten to a point where I went from, I don't know if your listeners are familiar with the story of Saint Augustine, but going from a very worldly man to being one of the greatest saints in church history. My life sort of kind of like that. But no saint
I hope you're the greatest saint in our church history sometime soon. That'd be great. Not too soon, but
I kind of hope that too. Still working on it though. Got a long ways to go. But the point of me drawing this comparison is that the life I lived before I learned theology of the body and before I became Catholic is remarkably different. And a lot of the bad habits that I used to have, including pornography, masturbation, staring at people instead of gazing at people, concupiscence thoughts, like I still have those. I've not brushed sin. Like I still go to confession like everyone else. But the persistence, the frequency that I have those thoughts, those temptations, it's like completely different. 99% less.
Well, and the ability to, because those, at least in my own experience, temptations, especially in regards to thoughts and thinking about other people, they don't disappear entirely, but it becomes so much easier to swat them away. And it becomes less of a, because I struggled in a big way for a while with, it was like an obsession. And an analogy a priest gave me was, if there's a fly in the room, you can do two things, right? You can get your fly swatter and chase it all over the room and all over the house and spend your whole day trying to kill this fly and obsess over this fly, or you can swat it away and keep doing the things that you should be doing. And that's rightly ordered how we should handle temptation. But that took a long time and a lot of realizing, oh my goodness, now I'm chasing this around and now I'm dealing with scrupulosity and now I'm dealing with all of this as, and once again, not perfect, nowhere near perfect, but so much better as I work that muscle out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Confession is victory for sure.
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. The sacraments run to them and cling to them. Jessica, I want to go back to something that you said in the first segment too, which is the idea of longing. We touched on that. Let's go a little deeper into it.
Sure, absolutely. Just longing, and as Alyssa said, about stretching the heart, and not only stretching the heart in the direction of what you might be longing for and learning how to become more charitable in that, but stretching your heart in all aspects and all of a sudden realizing that you can be more patient with the coworker that you might be a little annoyed with, or you realize that you can give of yourself in ways, or you are happy for someone else's good fortune in ways that perhaps before you may have worked harder to get to that place.
Right.
But because your heart is being stretched, all of a sudden you see the world in for all its beauty. And so not just the beauty of what am I trying to work towards and seeing the beauty in another person or this beauty in the relationship with God, all of a sudden everything, you see the beauty. In
that. Right. Overcoming that natural selfishness is a really, really hard thing. As an only child, it was particularly difficult for me, and I still struggle with it. That's something that I confess every time I, every time I'm in confession is self-centeredness, right? And coming out of ourselves, because really that's what we are called to do, to be fully human. We're supposed to come out of ourselves and stop just gazing in and gaze outward, minister and not be ministered to, right? So I love that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
one thing. Did you have something, Alyssa? Sorry. Mm, you have the most animated face, and I always feel like you've got something wonderful to say, and I'm cutting you off.
No, you're good. You're good.
So, and this might get a little big picture, a little philosophical, and I don't like to just dump on the modern world, but I'm happy to. Why, we're talking about all these great things. Why do we need this? And I'm not saying do we, because I think we would all answer yes. Why do we need this so much now? Why is our culture now so, I would not say uniquely broken in human history, but definitely disordered in a way that is exemplary, right? We're broken in a way that is unique in this time and place. Mm. Why?
I think like it's very much about like I become God. Like I make the decisions as to what is good and what is bad and who I am. Like what is my identity, right? Mm-hmm. And I think when we get into this mindset of I define the world, moral relativism, that everything becomes so much like harder to argue against and to have like a moral objectivity, right? And like the church gives us an objectivity. It gives us a set of like, here is how the world works, mm-hmm. right? But when I become like the determining factor, but Jessica could be a totally different viewpoint, right?
Live your truth.
Mm-hmm. Live your truth. Absolutely. And when we have that kind of mentality, like no one can break into the little world that I've created, the little microcosm. Like I see the world in a way that I define as reality, and no longer can anyone tell me that it's a different way. So I think it just makes it so much harder for us to like pull people back sure. away from that too. So that's kind of like to the messiness of it.
I think also there's a fear of vulnerability coupled with this breakdown in community. So we're afraid of being vulnerable. We're afraid of admitting that we do need God. We need someone outside of ourselves mm-hmm. to help us. But then also the breakdown that can happen within communities, if there feels like there's no one to turn to, I think that's when we start to feel like we grasp and we have mm-hmm. to figure it all out. And sure. we're not going to wait. We're going to solve all of our problems.
Well, it's almost like a perversion of our like rugged American individualism, right? That's being reduced down. It's the same reason why the mm-hmm. church says pure capitalism that reduces an individual to an object. That's an evil, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, I don't mean to get into economic, right, morality mm-hmm. or whatever. But obviously, the other side is also an evil. Mm-hmm. But individualism is not a bad thing. Being able mm-hmm. to try to be self-sufficient is not a bad thing, but trying to be self-sufficient to the exclusion of your creator and to the exclusion, I would argue, even of like community and family and all these other interactions with other human beings, that's disordered.
I think JP2 always stressed the idea of personalism. Mm-hmm. It's like when you view someone as their class, their race, their whatever, you're not seeing them as a person. You're not seeing them you're seeing them as an entity, like you're sure. a member. And likewise in economic theory, like pure capitalism, you're just a worker number. You got an ID. Yeah. And I think we're becoming like the unique part of our society is that now more than ever, people don't interact face to face. Like you're not interacting with a human. You're interacting with their emoticon, like right. profile picture. You're texting with people and it takes the personhood out. That coupled with people have more freedom nowadays than ever. Like you interact with people. There's not a lot of constraints on what you can do. You can get away with a lot of sure. stuff nowadays. So when you're not being trained or you're not interacting with a person, your communication and how you conceive of everyone in your life changes. And then you have freedom to act on this perverted understanding of all these people. It's like, well, what is there to hone all this in to like put a leash on that freedom? And that was another one of those lessons that Joey taught me very early on is I had a big problem with all the rules of the Catholic Church. Right. And he's like, yeah, they're not really rules once you embrace them. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't struggle not hurting you right now because I've embraced, like, I need to love my brother, like, as just that. He's like, when you embrace this, it just guides your life in a really beautiful mm-hmm. way. But right now, people are slaves to freedom. They're slaves to electronics. They're slaves to so many things in modern society. And I think that theology of the body in the most fundamental relation of, like, how do you interact with another person? Right. How should you see another person? Is that the bedrock of society, which we're losing? And right. that's why it's so important.
I really like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Father Branson actually had a fantastic thing in our Bible study the other day. He was talking about back in the garden with Adam and Eve, like A little kid might see like the whole thing about putting the tree of knowledge of good and evil there and thinking that that's like mean. Like, how dare he like put something that they can't have there? Like, that's just kind of like toying with them. It's a prankster, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, no, no. Because what's every relationship? Like, every relationship has some sort of boundaries. Like, if we're going to be in a relationship with one another, like Jessica and I, if we're friends and I'm like, hey, you can't cross this line. This is like the one thing I don't want you to do. Like, if she respects me, if she loves me, she's not going to cross that line. Like, she is going to want to be in relationship with me and not cross that line. And that's not what we see in the garden. And like, it's not about the apple or the fruit. It's about the fact that they didn't trust God and like they pulled away from him in doing that action. They crossed that line.
Father Mike Schmidt, just steal a Father Mike Schmidtism, has got one of the best analogies I've ever heard about the rules of the Catholic Church and how people will see those as constraining. And he says, if you have an island in the middle of the ocean, right, with sheer cliff walls on all sides, and you have a lot of children on that island, it's a terrifying thing. They're all going to be huddled together in the center of the island, terrified mm-hmm. that they're going to fall off and die, right? But if you put a gate or if you put a fence around that island, they can roam and they can play and they can enjoy because mm-hmm. the safety, that fence actually provides safety. And you can do all kinds of things yeah. within that fence. It's great. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And those are the moral precepts of the church, right? Mm-hmm. Is that fence. And we shouldn't view them, not to get back to the whole freedom to do what you want doing as opposed to freedom to do what you should conversation. But it's really that was a very tough thing for me to understand, the rules of the church, mm-hmm. right? During my conversion and sort of this radical, all coming from a pseudo-Protestant-y background, right? Of basically, not to badmouth our Protestant brothers and sisters, but this idea of, oh, you're your own Pope, right? I'm going to free. Holy Spirit said this when I read that. Clearly, that's true. And as I've sort of dove deeper, I've understand the beauty of the fence, right? The fence is beautiful. The fence is good.
Yeah.
So, one thing that I wanted to touch on, and talking about conversion and getting into all these things, I teach something that I found that's super unique, and I'm curious if I don't know where y'all will want to go with this, maybe nowhere, we'll find out. But I teach a theology of the body class right now to high schoolers, right? Mm-hmm. I teach it sophomore year in high school. Used to be junior, fought to get it down to sophomore. Earlier the better, right? I mean, there's certainly mm-hmm. too early, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the class, I spend about two-thirds, whenever we're talking about a moral issue. So let's say we're talking about contraception. Let's say we're talking about homosexuality. Let's say we're talking about transgenderism, whatever it is, when we're diving into just a moral issue in particular. For the majority of that lesson, I don't touch on morality at all. Mm-hmm. We read stats. We talk about the impact of contraception on the Miami-Dade County watershed, right? We talk about divorce rates linked to fornication prior to marriage. We go into all of these details, all of these statistics stuff before we even touch morality. Mm-hmm. We're talking about an individual moral topic. And the idea is to make it clear that sin is sin and evil is evil regardless of whether or not you believe it. So if Aiden doesn't believe any of the moral teachings of the church, right? And he's going and doing all these things, but he doesn't believe it. It doesn't matter. It still is affecting him and rotting, right? It is hurting his heart in a very real way. And I see that so often in my day-to-day life. And, you know, I come from a family of human beings, right? And so there's brokenness all over the place. And it's something that I don't know if it needs to be said, but it's super interesting. Just something to point out.
I think, so I was reading a book about how theology was lost in philosophy. And now philosophy is starting to, it rerooted itself in, call it the 19th and 20th centuries, mm-hmm. in logic and science and data, and how all of a sudden the best arguments were the ones that had a lot of numbers, a lot of statistics followed, informed to physics or biological models. And one of the precepts or the arguments that the author made is sin is not what makes sin bad is that God said not to do it. And you are acting against our creator. It's not the negative effects that it has on us. It's the fact that you're passing that boundary, similar to the eating of the apple. Like, that act was not bad because it gave us, like, it was original sin and it had all these effects and these consequences. Like, that's to be expected. But I think at the heart of a lot of problems in modern day is people are like, there's a lot of fixation on numbers and statistics. And if you just get all the right numbers in line to support your argument,
right,
then you're going to be the one that's like the master of truth. But this goes back to trusting God. It's like he gave us these commands. Like the Christian life is not about numbers.
Off air earlier, you were making some really good points, some allegories between earlier on in the show we were discussing man finding religion somewhere. I would love for you to speak to that for a minute because I thought you made some great points.
Yeah. So in the vein of us having more freedom than ever before, there's also a lot of talk about how religion, like the decline of the church. And I think most people agree that man is a religious being. And you see that as the church has declined in its prominence in society and the number of talking points or how prevalent its teachings are in mainstream culture, that the religious instinct of man has not gone away. Mm. It's just been moved over. So the two big areas where this religious instinct has borne itself are in science and in politics. So if we take COVID as an example, we had the equivalent of priests being the scientific class, and they say the science is settled. You cannot question the word of God, the gospels, and you will receive your sacrament. And that would be, for example, a vaccine. And you will show people this by carrying around a card or your baptism certificate to prove that you are a member of the community. And likewise, you see this in politics too, with all the denominations all professing like, I'm going to safeguard the chosen people, our country, and you will have to go out and vote. And if you don't, that's you're a heretic. And you get people that are kicked out of the church and are shamed, but they have followings. And you just see a retelling and a rehashing of church history. And the funny thing is that these same people are the ones that are like, you crazy religious people, you all these practices, they make no sense. Like, I had this girl the other day, she's like, why do you stare at bread? I'm like, you do the same exact thing. You stare at your idols, you stare at your phone. And it's like, the difference is I'm staring at God, you're staring at some pixels that are just like your colors that are changing on a phone. And it's the religious instinct of man is impossible to overcome because it's foundational to our creation.
Well, and politically speaking, there's almost a sola fide element to it too, right? Where I won't get into my own politics, but let's say that I tend to lean in one direction politically. But that being said, it doesn't mean that I'm in lockstep with every tenet of a certain political party, right? Yeah. And I've had people very upset with me because, you know, neither major political party in the U.S. aligns perfectly with Catholic teaching by any means, right? And they were very upset with me because I took a stance that was in line with what I would call a Orthodox Catholic understanding of morality or something in this one regard. And they could not believe, how dare you call yourself conservative or liberal or whatever it was? How dare you do that and still believe this?
Yeah.
And that was the response. I was like, well, no, I'm not. It's because I'm thinking for myself and my worldview is different and not rooted directly religiously in this man-made political party, because that's ridiculous. Why would I do that? No, that's just super interesting. I enjoyed it. So we've only got a few minutes left right now. Let's say that I'm listening, that I'm watching, and I'm interested in theology of the body, right? You guys gave some great personal testimonies. I really love that, by the way. What can I do right now? What can I read? What can I watch? Where can I go? Who can I meet? What kind of real conversations can I have? Where can I find people who are talking about this?
Well, if you'd like to come to the Theology of the Body class at the Georgia Tech Catholic Center every Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m., we have it there. It's a very nice little small group. You can ask any questions that you have. And we also have a whole library of different Theology of the Body like books. We especially recommend Fill These Hearts by Christopher West. That's a really good jumpstart in. But if you want more of a catechism-esque, you can go straight to the Catholic Catechism. Or Christopher West also has a great Theology of the Body for introduction book as well. That one's really good.
What if I'm not a student at Georgia Tech? Can I still come?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, cool. We'd love to have you.
What if I'm 40? Can I still come?
Absolutely.
Oh, cool.
We'd love to have you.
Fantastic. And what does that look like? What do you do on a Tuesday night?
So my co-lead Victor and I will give a presentation going deeper into theology of the body. And then we will like just open it up for discussion, but we'll have a lot of different like video clips, music, a lot of different things to like bring it into you. It's not just us going over doctrine or going over morality. It's like us like making it relatable to you and like what's going on in your lives.
Will you feed me while I'm there?
Yes, I will have snacks. Don't worry.
Great. There will be snacks. Nice. Okay, yeah. I'd like snacks. No, that's awesome, guys. Thank you so much for coming. You can just pass those questions down.
We also recommend Ascension Press has a ton of Theology of the Body stuff. Father Mike Schmitz gives great stuff. There's also Bobby and Jackie Francois Angel. They have like a whole thing on married life.
So
and they're like individual videos. And she also brings on her friend who's like struggled with homosexuality. Mm-hmm. They both talk about like the married perspective together. And apart.
I love, and don't do like the vice versa. It's like why we love NFP, why we hate NFP, why we, yeah, it's really cool. They do a great job. They're very relatable too. Mm-hmm. So that is fantastic. Thank you. And all of those are going to be in the show notes. So show notes, Benny, if you exist. Thank you so much. I know your work's cut out for you in that. Alyssa's a fast talker. If you're like me, I appreciate it. Yeah, he may or may not have it depending on whether or not he's a corporeal being or even here at all.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today for the radio. If you want to keep listening to this episode, be sure to head over to YouTube or check us out on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.